This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Kerry Dixon Show in association with ChelseaFan12.com, the home of the 12th man, the fan. Check their website out for lots of fantastic signed gear from Chelsea players, past and present. Lots of news. And of course, they do a video every week with Chopper Harris and Gary Chivers at the Butcher's Hook after every home game. Well worth checking out. That's on their website as well. And of course, you can follow them on Twitter, which is at Fan12Chelsea. And as always, a very hearty hello to Kerry Dixon. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing fine, thanks, Dave.
Good stuff. Good week?
If you're looking from a Chelsea perspective, an indifferent week.
Yes.
If you're looking from a personal one, not too bad, yeah. A couple of dinners and a few lunches and so on. Met a few friends and see a few old acquaintances and quite a few ex-Chelsea players. It's in and around a couple of the dinners, you know, Mickey Hazard, Graham Roberts, Tony Cascarino, etc. And various other people. So it was quite good in that respect.
Well, that's
but from
good.
A Chelsea view, yeah, Chelsea viewpoint, no. It's very disappointing, the West Ham game. Mm. And listen, I have to say, I think I possibly talked you out of it because you were erring on the side of caution.
Yes.
And I think that my exuberance perhaps turned you a little bit because you did say that West Ham always get themselves up for
yep.
this game no matter what. But they proved it was no fluke. They've done the same to Arsenal to a degree in the week. So, whereas we went some way up at Huddersfield to put in that disaster right, we're an indifferent side, you know. We really are. And it's not the way we're going to win the league, but we could win a cup the way we are. Mm. And I'd like to think we're going to improve because we're still, for me, north and south. The fact we can throw in these performances against the Crystal Palaces, against the, you know, like Burnley starting to look all right, but against the West Hams who are struggling, and you know, we throw these in and then we go and get the results we get. I don't know. I'm not going to say that he's not right, but if you want, it's going back to my time. You know, the 80s, you just don't know. You lose
yeah.
against the average ones. And you know, they've beaten Spurs, they beat United, you know, and we have some good results against the top sides. But there's no way. You can't even see these things coming, the results they're having against some of the average sides. It beggars belief that these results are actually in there when you look at what Chelsea have done against the good sides. We should be lying in second place. Nothing is stopping the Man City juggernaut at the moment, and they look like they could, if they continue, run away with it, I have to say.
Well, I think, you know, where does one start? I think I couldn't disagree with any of that, mate. And it's funny, actually, because I think I wrote a blog the other week mentioning much the same, that it's all very good. It's, you know, kind of very quite nostalgic seeing this inconsistency from Chelsea. And it does remind me very much of the days when we used to, you know, beat the best sides and invariably lose to the worst sides. I mean, it's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, if we look at the West Ham game particularly, I mean,
there's no doubt that that early goal played right into West Ham's hands, because that meant they could just, you know, put 11 men behind the ball and try and hit us on the break, which they did very well. But, you know, I think what concerned a lot of Chelsea supporters was it's something that we've seen before, even when we've won. I mean, the Newcastle game was a case in point. But we seem to start so slowly. I mean, we didn't really start getting into the game until 20 minutes had gone. I mean, why is that, Kerry? I mean, none of us seem to understand why that is. I mean, I'd be interested to hear your perspective, having played.
Yeah, the start is vital. I mean, everyone's gone on record as saying, you know, the first goal is a crucial thing in all types of football, certainly for Chelsea and the teams. Manchester City are now saying that if they get a goal early, you know, teams have to come out, change the game plan. If it goes against you, the game plan becomes more rigid, and the teams they dig in and become more defiant and, you know, determined not to lose. And, you know, yes, that is what West Ham did. But I have to say, we didn't offer much of a threat at all, I don't think. It was a very, I'm not going to say a boring game, because it's not just boring when we lose. I mean, we've had some boring wins, but
yeah.
And I don't mind winning boring, but it was a lethargic game. You know, there was no excitement from Chelsea. There was nothing really. They passed the ball, they got to the final third, and it was a damp squib. I mean, even Eden Hazard, and I always say, if Hazard plays, he can be the difference and make things happen. He had an indifferent game. He didn't have a poor game. I mean, for me, he was still probably our biggest threat, as he always is. But he was indifferent, and the rest of the team was 6 out of 10. You know, West Ham didn't have to be great, although they, you know, they worked their socks off, I have to be honest, but they got their goal and they dug in. And to say that we weren't capable of breaking them down, which we weren't on the day, is poor. And when you look at the, you know, we haven't even touched on the Champions League yet. We got the result. it was the second one for me, but, you know, we could have got Paris Saint-Germain. But I mean, you look at that, and then you look at West Ham this week, and, you know, people will say no chance. But the Chelsea side, looking down to Huddersfield, looks so comfortable and compact against a team that won their last three home games. We were always the better side, and, you know, he made one or two changes, and, you know, it just goes to show which Chelsea's going to turn up at the moment. And if the good team turns up, we win, and if the average one turns up, we get a poor result.
I mean, what I can't understand about the West Ham game in particular is, you know, they should have known how West Ham were going to play, and they should have known that they were going to be right at it from the word go. It's a London derby. I mean, these players have played in derbies. They know what they're like. And I just can't understand why they started so slow. I mean, you know, Conte was very interesting after the game, I think, you know, because he said that they were tired. I mean, you know, is tiredness really an excuse, Kerry? I mean, how can they be tired? It's not even halfway through the season. Or am I missing something?
Dave, I hate to hear it from anyone. It beggars belief that managers can say it. I've heard, you know, Eden Hazard come out and say this Christmas in England is, you know, too many games, you play a lot, we need rest and all that. Come on, look, I'm never buying it. I'm an old pro, and every old pro you'll ever speak to will not buy this resting. You know, when you think, you go back to Liverpool winning what is now the Champions League, the European Cup, they only played about 17 players all season. They played about 70, 80 games. Come on, it's not viable. You get all the rest you can. You get pampered more than any other footballer has ever been in the history of football. You get every mod con. You don't play on soggy pitches. You don't. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
Tired is not one that I can accept, I'm afraid. You know? And if you're tired, every other player that plays in the same league as you are equally as tired. West Ham players are tired. You might argue, well, they don't have the same games. They're not in Europe. Right? So they get, what, 6 games more at the moment and maybe one or two more in cup competitions. We've got a big squad who get paid a lot of money to be rotated, and the manager's got to get it right. Sorry, I'm not buying tired. I could go on forever on that one.
Well, yeah, and it makes me quite cross as well. But as I said, I I'm not a professional football player, so I don't know. I mean, the only other thing I can think of, maybe it's not just a question of being physically tired, maybe it's being mentally tired, you know, which perhaps comes into the equation. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, hold on. At what point do you become mentally tired? Can someone tell me when they're going to be mentally tired prior to a game? Just tell the manager and don't play that I'm mentally tired. And then let the reporters and the pundits and everyone else sort out the change out of it, if you like. Oh, he was mentally tired. You hear managers sometimes say, oh, he wasn't right, he's mentally not right. So he don't play.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it at all, mate. If you're not up for a game, you know, you don't play well every game, yeah. but you've got to go out being up for a game. I used to go out thinking, I want to score a goal, I hope we win. I don't know whether we're going to win. We might win, or this is a big game. And I don't look at the average teams, you know, on paper and say, oh, they're only average. We'll go out there and saunter around and feel a bit lethargic or whatever. You want to win. You want to score goals. You're a goalkeeper. You want to make saves. You want to keep a clean sheet. Come on. I'm not buying it at all. Yeah. There is no real excuse for lethargic play and apathy and then come up with the excuse we're tired. I can't have it at all, mate.
Me neither. There's nothing I like more than listening to Kerry Dixon on a very long run, which I think you are today, which is kind of appropriate considering the cricket song. So keep it up, mate. I mean, there were lots of really odd things about lots of really odd things. Maybe we should send you out to Australia. We might get the Ashes back, mate. But there were lots of other odd things as well, weren't there? I mean, you know, Morata had a bit of a stinker, but apparently he was not well, and now he's got a back injury. So in that case, I mean, we'll touch on this with the Huddersfield game as well. But I mean, you know, if he wasn't well and wasn't 100% fit, then why play him? You know, that didn't make sense to me either.
Excuses after the game. Yeah, people ask the questions, so you can only answer the questions. I'll give Conte a bit of a breather on that one. You know, he didn't know he's not well. And sometimes you play players who are not fit and it backfires. Yeah, you think, okay, I made a mistake, shouldn't have played him. And he, you know, privately he might have admitted that and thought, well, I'm not going to play in the next game. Come back when you're absolutely 100% because you half fit or not right. He's not going to be good for the team, and we can't have that type of performance. He's our central focal point of attack, and to be honest, it was non-existent. But I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon and say, you know, I told you I was right and all the rest of it. He's still going to get time. One game or two games or whatever doesn't make it right or wrong, you know. But you saw a different forward line. He didn't go to Plan B with Batshuayi. He went to Plan C. And, you know, brought back the three little men. And I have to say, on that game, it was horses for courses, if you like. Did he know that that was the sort of outcome it was going to be? But they performed excellently. Willian and Pedro were great. The movement was good. And the performance was really good. Bakayoko played very well, I have to say. Forget his goal. I thought he looked tight. He moved the ball better. It was a decent performance from a side that's acquitted itself quite well in the Premier League so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, OK, like you said, you know, Morata had the back injury, which is why he didn't play against Huddersfield. And Conte went with this three-pronged attack of Hazard, Pedro and Willian, and there is no doubt it worked well. But I'm really curious to know what you think about that, because, you know, you're a striker. And, it, you know, what does it say about Batshuayi if he can't even get a start when Morata is out?
Well, we've touched on this before. Yeah. You know, I think he did it last year, and it was in the League Cup. I'm not quite sure, but you know, when he's gone with this formation, he knows it works for certain games, and he knows it is an option. Mm. I think he wanted more movement. Whether he believes Batshuayi gives him that movement or not remains to be seen. And if indeed he is going to be back up to Morata, he surely has to be the option when the main striker is injured. But he must feel to himself he's not, and he'll probably take it as another smack in the teeth. But as a pro, you've got to get on with it. Yeah. You know, you're getting paid your money, you're going to get your wages. Not that really matters. I mean, extra week's wages or extra month's wages is going to make a whole heap of difference to his bank balance, I'm sure. He wants to play, and he'll be disappointed. I don't know. It's one that he's got to take, or he's got to take it up with the club and the manager. And, you know, if it doesn't suit and he doesn't like it, then he'll probably be on his way.
Yeah.
You know, unless if he's happy to be that part and come on and do his best and actually have an impact, and they see him as an impact player or a sub, or only him and the manager will know his role. And listen, only his performances can change that. Mm.
I mean, I've got to be honest. You know, the fact that he didn't start when Morata wasn't available tells me everything you need to know. I really don't think Conte fancies him, but it's difficult. I mean, it's never as black and white as we would like to see it. I mean, you know, on the one hand, you can say, well, you know, Batshuayi scored 9 goals this season, Morata's scored 10. So, you know, clearly the guy can score goals. But as we both know, there's a lot more about being a striker than banging the goals in. And, you know, I mean, Batshuayi has an uncanny knack of being offside. So, I don't know. I mean, ultimately, you know, Conte's with him on the training ground every day. He sees more than we do. So, in a sense, you kind of have to respect that. Just the last thing on the Huddersfield thing. I mean, again, you know, like we were saying earlier about the first goal, it shows you the importance of scoring first, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Huddersfield, you know, they've got a good home record. They, you know, it's a home, if they stay up this year, it will be because of what they do at home. It won't be what they do away from home. Anything they get here is a bonus. Like, you know, I'm sure Burnley were set out thinking something similar. And there's lots of other clubs that wish their home form was as good. But I think they're not a bad side. I mean, many a team comes up and acquits themselves quite well in the first season, and they'll say, well, wait and see. They'll be found out the second season. People will know what they're about and so on. And, you know, and things change. But they are a side, and you've got to admit, are having a decent run, and they're quite good at home. And, you know, it was no easy place. And many people, I spoke to people, they said, well, a few of the foreigners are going to find out now if they haven't found out before. They used to say Bolton on a cold roll night in the winter and see what they're like there. It's all very well playing in April or May with a bit of sun on your back. Let's see what it's all about. And, you know, Chelsea players who played that night come up with the answers and proved that they've got a bit of metal. And, you know, and are prepared, not worried about the conditions, and just get out there and do a bit. And, you know, it was very pleasing. But I was glad there was some sort of reaction to what had gone before. But the key to Chelsea's season is going to be we're going to need to improve, and players are going to need to improve individually. We've got to be more consistent without shadow of a doubt, certainly in terms of a top four finish. I think, you know, we can't afford too many more of these. I'm calling it throwing away 3 points. You know, when you look at our 3 points that we've possibly lost, which I think we should have had. You know, and I include Burnley in that, the home. We talk about home. I include Burnley. I'm looking at Crystal Palace and I'm looking at West Ham, teams that haven't even got a point on the board, haven't scored and all the rest of it, and they beat us. You know, so you put 9 points on us and all of a sudden there's a battle at the top. You know, Chelsea and Manchester City. That's the difference.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
I mean, that's interesting, actually. I mean, talking about City, because I was. I don't know how I feel about this, but I was quite surprised, actually, how brutally honest Conte was, you know, particularly after the West Ham match, saying, well, we're not in the title race, you know, that's that. I mean, you know, in many respects, I hate to admit it, but I agree with him. I think City are running away with it, and, you know, the statistics bear that out, Kerry. They're going to be very hard to catch. But on the other hand, I kind of think, well, you know, what message does that send out to the players? I mean, if they don't think they can win it, there's a danger that they might ease off. And yet they've got to, you know, if we can't win it, we've got to come second, surely, you know.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Chelsea Football Club is still Chelsea Football Club, and the supporters and everyone else, and it will still go on no matter what the players think. If Conte believes and the players start to believe they can't win it, and many supporters actually believe it's Manchester City, I'm starting to think they're going to take some stopping like everyone else. If they continue the way they're going, you know, they will win it. It's as simple as that. The thing is, we're in 4 cup competitions. we've got to improve to win one of them, and I'm talking about the Champions League. The draw has been an average draw in the FA Cup in away to Norwich. It's not a great draw. He's got to be careful there what team he picks.
Yep.
It's one of them that could go a bit pear-shaped, depending on what side he wants to put out. And we've got a great chance in the Carabao Cup. So we're here to win trophies. If you can't win the league, you're in four competitions. Let's win one, two or three of them then. Come on. You know, players got to improve. And in terms of European qualification for next season, you want to be in the Champions League. You might get better players. You might get different people, one or two. All of a sudden, you've still got to be playing to make sure you're part of what Chelsea Football Club want and what they want for the future, if indeed that be the case. And the future starts with the very next game. I'm not talking about next season. Future for every player is the very next game if you're selected. So, if you don't see it that way, then I suggest you go to the manager and say, look, do your best to move me on.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, as I said, it's a difficult. I mean, on the one hand, he was very honest, but, I just hope that he's getting the right message to the players in the dressing room that, they need to keep on it. I mean, the interesting thing is that, thankfully, United, Liverpool, Spurs and Arsenal are all being as inconsistent as we are. So, okay, City are doing very well. But, I mean, anything can happen. And, I mean, that's what I would be telling them. You know, keep on it. Anything can happen. You know, you've got to keep believing. Talking of which, as you quite rightly said, Kerry, we've got Southampton coming up on Saturday. A bit of a grudge match for me, as I live down in that manor and a lot of my friends are Southampton fans. So it might be an innocuous match for some Chelsea supporters, but not for me. I'm not having us losing that one. To be honest, I don't think we will. They looked pretty poor when they got thumped by Leicester in midweek. But in a sense, it's another one of those games, isn't it? A match that we should just turn up, roll them over really easy, go home, thank you very much. But if we're not at it from the start, yet again, something horrible could happen. That's kind of where I see it, really.
Well, I'm not going to be as bullish as always. Two or three times now I've been called out, and I'm not going to say we should win the game and so on. I'll say we should win the game because I believe we should win the game. But I'm starting to agree with you. If the proper Chelsea team turn up, and at home it's a little bit more difficult for them to go in to put one of these apathetic performances, because the fans, they're going to let them know that we don't want to see that performance. The away fans you feel sorry for when they go to Palace and they go to West Ham and they see these very poor performances. You think, come on, at home there's 40,000. They're going to be saying, come on, and the players, they'll let them know, And I don't think they'll slip up in this one. I think they'll beat Southampton. I've got to say, I think Southampton are a dour side, don't score many goals. Not bad at certain things, but come on, look. I'm not even going to miss their players. I mean, two or three of their team are ex-players.
Yeah.
And that's not knocking them, but listen, we should roll them over. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's really interesting, actually, because, I come from down there and I've got a lot of mates who do support them. They're really quite worried. They think that they're a real relegation in danger of getting relegated this year, and they think that the players aren't playing for the manager, they don't like him, they think that Dusan Tadic, who's their playmaker, has fallen out with him, so they're really quite worried. And I actually, I had to write a blog about it the other day, and I had a look at the table, and they're mid-table, they're 11th, and they have got some decent players, that's the thing. I mean, they're no mugs. And I mean, actually, the other thing that surprised me about Southampton, they've been in the top 10 for the last four or five seasons. I mean, who'd have thought? So, again, we need to turn up and be right at it from the get-go, I think. You can't take any Premier League game lightly, can you?
No, for whatever reason, against anyone, and this season, if anything else, has proved that. We've lost to the team at the bottom, we've got no points. Mm-hmm. We've lost to a team that's lost so many games and not won any this and that, and so on. We lose to them. So it just goes to show, there's not a Premier League team that you can take lightly anywhere. That is the case. Just on the Southampton one, it's not about them, but every now and again, and pretty much every season, maybe a team, there's those that fight relegation pretty much all season, and there's those that sit in mid-table and think they might have, they might not, they might be all right, and so on. They hit a poor run about February from to April, and all of a sudden they get relegated, and the teams that have been scrapping all along manage to stay out of it. One or two of them manage to stay up. Southampton are in danger of that. They are one of them that could fall apart, and I think Chelsea should help them on their way starting this week. it's one of my old clubs.
Yeah.
It's one of my old clubs, but, you know, my allegiance is not even in a... It doesn't bear comparison. Everyone knows where my allegiances will lie. And I want Chelsea to win comfortably at the weekend. I think they should.
Yeah.
I now have an air of caution about me on pretty much everything I predict with Chelsea. Even though I think they should, I'm a little bit more confident at home. When I go for a prediction away from home these days, I'm going to just have that little bit of caution about my bullish remarks.
Yeah, they're not a team to have a bet on at the moment, are they? Anyway, one thing that will be interesting, I mean, I'm just... You know, having a quick read through Conte's press conference today, and he says that Morata has trained in the past couple of days and he's in contention to play tomorrow. So it looks as like he'll start, but which I think he should. You know, if he's fit, you've got to play your main striker. But let's say he's not fit and ready to go. You know, would you go back Shuai or would you go back to the William Pedro Hazard? Because I mean, I have to say I don't like it because I like to see a proper striker, but I'm an old git and I'm old-fashioned. But, you know, the movement of those three up front, actually, I think, you know, can cause, you know, opposition teams a lot of problems because it makes it a lot harder to mark them when you don't quite know where the threat's coming from. So I do see the sense in it, but if he's fit, you'd play him, right?
Yeah, if you think you're playing, I mean, trying to explain leaving out a £30 million striker, then a £60 million striker, his argument could be, well, you're only as good as your last game, and then three played very well. But listen, I've seen that before as well. The manager's got to pick the team that wins the game. I've seen William, I've seen Pedro on numerous occasions as well go missing in games, and you know, one good game wouldn't give them, they haven't earned the right yet, to actually be a regular starter, full stop. And that's the reason, since they've both been at the club, they've been in and out. You know, they're easily left out because of their performances don't dictate to the manager that I'm in. You know,
yeah.
That's the reason. All the people who don't play regular are the ones where their performances state that. The people who play regular are ones that if you're fit, you play because you're the best player in that position. And, you know, and that's what it is. I couldn't guarantee, I don't think they could guarantee, they might wish to, that Hazard, Pedro and Willian could go out against Southampton and produce the same performance. They might, but there's no guarantee. And I would go with a tried and tested. If Morata's fit, he plays. And if he's not fit, well, then he's got his choice.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I mean, I think the one thing that really, I mean, you know, as you said, any given day, if they're at it, I think particularly if we score an early goal, then I can't see anything other than Chelsea win. But I think the only slight worry for me is that if you're just coming off the back of a 4-1 defeat at home, I think the first thing the manager's going to be doing with you for the next 3 days before this match is he's going to be drilling it into you how to defend better. So I could really see Southampton, you know, really determined to not let a goal in, frankly. So I could see them parking the bus in the modern day parlance. And it could be difficult to break them down. So I think, you know, yet again, as we always say, Kerry, I mean, it's like we repeat ourselves most weeks on this, but the early goal is absolutely crucial, isn't it? For either side, to be honest.
Absolutely. An early goal, you know, allows you to play with a little bit more freedom, knowing that the opposition have got to do something. If they don't do anything, well, you play possession football and you can either pick them off. It's still a set play situation. And, you know, as soon as they do come out, there'll be more holes and so on. So, you know, yeah. If it goes against us, we've got to be prepared and ready to break teams down. You know, I've heard Guardiola in his press conferences saying, yeah, the teams come here, we've got to be ready for that. You set the standard, you raise the bar. You know, teams aren't going to let you roll them over and pass around them. It, you know, happened with Chelsea when they won the title last season. And you know, it's happening to Manchester City at the moment. You know, teams aren't, they know that you can pass. So anyone worth, any manager worth a weight or anything, any player who's got anything about him, he's not going to allow that to happen to him. He'll realise his limitations. And, you know, if there's a bloke quicker than you, you'll give yourself a couple of yards. You ain't going to be standing right next to him so he can just turn and outrun you. You know, you're a professional at the end of the day and you play to your strengths if you can. You know, so we've got to be prepared to break teams down. And if Southampton park the bus, let's see that lively performance, energetic performance, and everyone putting it in to get the first goal.
Yeah, I have a feeling they will, actually. I really do. I think they are prone to these blips like Palace and West Ham, but I think generally, we are.
And the Burnley first half as well. That is the real apathetic one at home.
And Roma,
hasn't been
of course.
Too many of them at home, but Roma, of course. That was the whole game of it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, without going back to old stuff that we talked about before, we weren't that bad in the first half. But anyway,
if we look at it, if I could just say one more point, it's been a bit of a negative one. The Roma performance at home cost us top spot in the Champions League. That's why we're playing Barcelona. Could have played someone else, I know that. We've went through all that. Palace, Burnley and West Ham at least have cost us a title race challenge at the moment. We still might produce one. There's a long way to go. But that's the sort of improvement that's going to be required second half of the season if we're going to win one of these four trophies we're in.
Well, exactly. And I think, actually, you know what? It's a really good point that you made earlier on, because, you do not win leagues if you are not consistent. And we won it last year, predominantly because we went on that 13-game unbeaten run, or winning run, in fact. And that's what wins you a league. It's the consistency. But actually, when you're a bit more mercurial, like we have been this season, that does set you up ideally to have a chance in a cup. Which segues nicely into the fact that, as you said, we did get Barcelona in the Champions League draw last Monday, and there was a bit of pessimism about this, but I'll be honest with you, I was very relieved we didn't get PSG, who I think have had our number for a few years. I fancy our chances against Barcelona. I really do. I mean, is that how you see it, Kerry?
Once, Dave, I'm saying I agree with everything you said. perfect. If we're going to play Barcelona, they're clear at the top and everyone will point to what they're doing in their own league, which is fine. I don't think Real are the side that they were. They've got the players that can produce on the day. I don't think Barca, I think they're a declining side as well, although they've still got the players to produce on the day. But their results are suggesting, and you can throw Bayern Munich in on that one as well if you want. PSG are the up-and-coming side, but we are looking like a cup side this year. We can produce. We can produce performances, and we have got good players. And on the day, if our world-class players stand up and play, theirs don't, we will win the games. So we have got a chance. And, I'd rather have Barcelona than PSG, although Besiktas would have been the better one.
Well, to be honest, I think we are in that kind of weird place at the moment. I think on our day, we can beat anybody. We're good enough to beat anybody. And I think, the Atletico Madrid game away prove that in many respects. So I maybe stranger things have happened, Kerry, than us having a far from ideal league campaign and then going on to win the Champions League. So you never know. But anyway, we should wrap
I'm
this
not,
up.
Listen, I'm not. Don't get me wrong here. Hey, listen, you're not having the last word on that. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not writing us off in any capacity at all. We could still end up with three trophies and second in the league. That'd be a desperately bad season, wouldn't it?
Well, that would be lovely. Yeah. I mean, it's a really interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, I had a chat with a few of my, Chelsea mates of my vintage the other day, and, we see a lot of melting down going on social media and people, throwing their toys out the pram because you lose. And, I mean, the reality is that, all of us kind of in their 50s can't believe what we've seen in the last 15 to 20 years. And we'd all die happy having seen what Chelsea have won. But in a sense, that shouldn't be the attitude. The players and the manager and the supporters have got to want to win everything, and we should be greedy. So, I'll shut up with those kind of comments about being happy about it. Listen, we should wrap up the old show with really where are we going to go for the Southampton? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if we get an early goal, I think we'll romp it. But if we don't and they park the bus, I think we could be in for a long afternoon.
So you've predicted what?
Well, I'm going to go 2-1. I'm going to split the difference.
Well, here come more bullish remarks. I think 3 or 4 nil. No matter which side he puts out. I think they're a poor side. If Leicester can do them 4 at home, Leicester are an improving side. Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez, they've got some decent players as well. We've got decent players. If we're at the races, three or four for us as well.
All right, I like it. You've been on fantastic form today, Kerry. As I said, I love it when you're on a long run, but I like the bullishness as well. So let's hope that you're more right than I am. And we'll be talking about it, obviously, next week, back end of next week. Of course, we'll have the Bournemouth game to talk about as well in the League Cup, won't we? I think that's next week. There's so many matches at the moment, I lose track. Yep. But hopefully we'll have one foot in the... Yeah, we'll have one foot in the semi-final of the League Cup as well. So let's hope so. Mate, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game tomorrow. And you and I will catch up again next week.
Cheers, bye.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.